Hello and welcome to Join the Docs, our weekly trip into the fascinating world of medicine. Actually, today it should be Join the Dogs, because this episode focuses on how owning a canine might improve your health in a variety of ways, from reducing your blood pressure, relieving stress and solving loneliness, to spotting if you have cancer or diabetes before you even know it. Dr. Nigel Guest and I also dig into Masha's microbiome, Fido's feces and fleas, and Toto's ticks to discover diseases that our four-legged friends might pass on, as well as risks of dog ownership from rover-ripping rugs to muttly mangling skin and the ills that bitten skin is heir to. Check out our socials to see who Slim, our resident skeleton, brought along to the studio. If you want to be a terrier and retrieve some golden information, see what I did there? Listen to Join the Dots. Down, Nigel. Down. Good boy. Thanks for being here to Join the Docs, our weekly podcast about the fascinating world of medicine. I'm Professor Jonathan Sakia, a surgeon.
And I'm Dr. Nigel Guest, a family practitioner.
So, Nigel, I'd like to set the scene. Imagine a group of our ancestors. Many, many thousands of years ago, they gathered around a warming fire on a cold night. They're hungrily devouring meat that they've secured from a hunt. But they're wary. They're nervous. They hear sounds.
Ooh! Werewolf!
Werewolf is the classic response.
Terrible joke.
So our hunters see shining eyes in the dark. They're circling closer, closer. They're wolves, right? One wolf is bolder and ventures a little bit closer. And one of the guys around the fire, a diner, throws a morsel to the wolf, which it hungrily devours. And he throws another morsel and smiles, and the wolf gets a little bit closer, a little bit bolder.
Ooh, a risky strategy though, isn't it, eh? I don't know. You should never feed dogs at the table anyway.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because if that hadn't have happened, we wouldn't have what Frederick the Great of Prussia, how he described his Italian greyhound, man's best friend. Basically, what happened is that wolves became domesticated. They became part of the community of men and women, and they started living with them and forging relationships. So today, we're going to discuss dogs and health. So let's start, Nigel, with your ideas. What's a dog?
What's a dog?
It's a dog.
I'll tell you what, definition boy, I've got a sneaking suspicion you're going to tell me anyway. But as a fan of culture, I can tell you that Ogden Nash weighed in. Here we go. The dog is a man's best friend. He has a tail on one end. Up in front, he has teeth and four legs. Underneath, genius, hey? It's like Shakespeare.
Well, it's like Nash, basically. So today, you might say, is Join the Dogs at Join the Dogs.
Gee.
So, as I say, derived from wolves.
My favourite football team.
Well, it was your favourite football team. Until I perverted the
Tottenham.
Goals of your life. Tottenham forever. So there are now approximately 400 breeds of dogs worldwide. And we define a breed, apparently, if the genealogy is traceable for three generations, that becomes a breed, whether you're getting a purebred or a mongrel, which is a crossbreed. You know, and of course, just a quick note, you can adopt a dog. You don't have to buy a purebred animal. There's lots of dogs looking for lovely homes if you're interested in getting a dog. But they're broken down into groupings. There's sporting dogs, hounds, terriers like Yorkies.
Are they the ones that are named after a chocolate bar?
Very funny.
Or is it the other way around?
I think you'll find that the dogs came first.
All right.
Then there are working dogs, and then there are toy dogs, like the tiny little things you see women carrying around in handbags.
Yeah, and we've got every trendy hybrid now as well, haven't we? I love the names. What it's like as a cockapoo is one, a golden doodle.
Which I had, yeah.
Did you?
Dog, yeah.
How about a multi-poo?
What? I guess a Maltese.
There's a joke there somewhere. Yeah,
a Maltese poo.
Smelly poo.
Smelly poo.
And there's a poo-treever. I made that one up, actually.
There's no such thing as a poo-treever.
Well, there should be. It could be a poo-retriever. That would be very handy. Save you going picking it up, wouldn't it?
So talking about retrieving poo, if you go to our socials and check it out, you'll see that Slim, our resident skeleton, is a very, very responsible dog owner as far as poo. And we're going to come on to that.
So talking about poo, when you're out having a walk, right,
yes,
and there's people have gone to all the effort of collecting poo, put in a little bag, why do they hang it on trees?
I have no idea.
I mean, poo doesn't grow on trees, does it?
No, it doesn't. But you do see that. I've always wondered why they do it.
I think it's because they're going on a walk, and in their heads they think, I'm going up the walk, I've got the poo, I don't really want to carry some squishy poo in my pocket. I'll pick it up on the way back.
But they don't.
Well, I don't know. They might. We should radio label it.
Radio label. Or basically...
Tracker, put a tracker on it.
Or stake it out and see if they come back to pick up the poo.
Yeah, we could have a poo stake.
So anyone listening out there, we're on to you.
Absolutely, beware.
Deposit it. So I did a little bit of research, Nigel, about things named after dogs. And as you know, I'm a pilot. I love aeroplanes. There's loads of aeroplanes named for dogs. Things like the Beagle, the Bulldog, the Husky. And any pilot listening will know that these are very slow, sedate, rather charming aeroplanes. Interestingly, Grumman, an aircraft manufacturer, they named all their fighter aeroplanes after cats. There's Tomcats and Hellcats and Tiger Cats and Bear Cats. I think that one is either a dog or a cat person. I'm a dog person. I think dogs are just kind of mellow and chill, whereas cats, they scare the living daylights out.
No, I'm a cat person. I mean, or as the cat likes to say, I'm a person, because basically the cat...
The cat rules
the life, don't they? They just go, yeah, well, I'm going to doing that. You can't make me. I won't. You know,
and if you try and they're going to call your eyes out.
Let me out. Car keys. I'll be back later.
See you later. So... look, there are ships, many ships. HMS Beagle, of course, very famous one. There's beers named for dogs. There's houndstooth dog pattern cloth patterns. There's in America. There's the Greyhound Coach Company, and here in London, there's streets named for various dogs. Like the famous one is Houndsditch, which is on the east end of the old city of London, in between Bishopsgate and Aldgate. And the reason it's called Houndsditch purportedly is in the ancient city, it was where people chucked rubbish and dogs would go and forage for food. Or an alternate description is where they would deposit dead dogs, which seems interesting.
I thought that was the Isle of Dogs.
The Isle of... Well, that was called because, yeah, it was inhabited by dogs. But there you go.
There you go.
Now it's inhabited by investment bankers.
Well, I'm not saying anything. but it's interesting because when I were a lad, I went before and the beginning of medical school, I used to do a summer job and any other time, which is working in a place that made rocket motors, solid propellant rocket motors.
Because your dad was in that business.
He was in that business, that's right. So a bit of nepotism there. And I used to work in the department that actually manufactured these things, which was basically high explosive. We used to work in buildings with like 8-foot blast walls. So my dad really didn't like me very much, I don't think. But I survived. But all of the motors, as they called them, were named after dogs. So there was Troy and there was Deerhound.
Hang on a second. Troy is...
No, you're confusing that with something Greek-ish. Or a measure of silver, or whatever. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
But yeah, Troy, because that's a little dog, isn't it? And that was Rapier Missile, actually. And Deerhound, Wolfhound, Retriever. I worked on one called Retriever, which was a...
Not sure I'd want a rocket that's a Retriever. That senses it's going to bring him
This thing used to get a missile to about Mach 2 in about 4 seconds or something absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, yeah, they were all named after dogs, which I thought was quite interesting at the time.
So... Dogs, our relationship with dogs...
That poodle missile never worked.
The toy poodle missile. Bang!
Honestly, the chihuahua was a Very disappointed.
That's when you're slightly irritated with someone. I don't want to blow you up or kill you. I just want to irritate you.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I just had this mental image of a missile delivering all that dog poo that's been gathered on trees. I don't know where that came from.
There's a thought.
Very disturbing. So it is a two-way relationship. We give dogs shelter, food, healthcare, of course, companionship. And they give us much more. There are service dogs, for instance, such as for the blind.
Yeah. So, okay, here's a terrible old joke. You know I like old jokes. So, why don't blind people go skydiving anymore?
I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Because it frightens a dog. Actually, I bet they would love it. Because you see dogs all the time, don't you, with their heads out the side of old car windows. They absolutely love it, blowing it in their ears behind them. I'm quite the same, actually. But blowing their ears behind them and their tongues lolling out, absolutely, absolutely love it. And you see them, don't you? You see them surfing on surfboards. Yeah. See them on motorbikes.
Water skiing.
Yeah, water skiing, which is an interesting one. And I like to think, how the hell did they make that first move to get them on? The dog's going, are you joking? God almighty. In fact, the other day, I was out for a walk, and somebody came past us, and they were on a scooter, electric scooter, which is legal, and there was music playing, a little whatever it was, radio or whatever, and there was a white terrier on the scooter with this guy, and I thought, that's absolutely brilliant. And they went up to the thing, and it was turning really fast, hard, tight circles. This dog was absolutely, absolutely loving it. It was brilliant.
That's priceless. But, you know, there's other service applications. Guard dogs, racing greyhounds, dogs are used for police work, rescue dogs, finding people, you know, in disaster zones, trapped in buildings and such like. Yeah, they can detect explosives and drugs at airports and other places.
It's interesting because when we go to said Tottenham that we've mentioned before, who are big fans at, we have to go through security and we go through and we have to be sniffed, don't we?
Well, not us.
No, well, it sniffs around the car and everything like that. And so frequently we've done this, we now know the dog, which is called Luna, apparently, which is short for lunatic. When you're having a dog sniffing out explosives or anything, you really want to be sniffed by a dog called Lunatic, don't you? And she's adorable, actually. But actually, my dog has no nose.
Oh, dear God, how does it smell?
Terrible. Oh, absolutely terrible.
That's awful. So, you know, there's another mythology about dogs and health, the St. Bernard, and the monks at the...
Is he but like Bernard's mate?
Yeah, I'm using the American pronunciation, okay. Thank you very much for that, Nigel. I spent half my life in America. St. Bernard or St. Bernard.
Absolutely.
St. Bernard?
Yeah, absolutely. Bernard. Two countries separated by one language.
A common language, yeah, Winston Churchill. But the monks at the Saint's hospice deny that any time did one of those dogs carry a barrel around its neck, because the classic thing is, you know, you get trapped in the snow and one of these characters will pop up and he'll have a barrel of brandy right around his neck. It's interesting, it comes from a painting from 1820 painted by Sir Edwin Landseer. He's the same chap who painted Monarch of the Glen. So that's the painting, not the TV drama.
I was going to say, I love that.
No, it's the painting, right? And that painting was called Alpine Mastiff Reanimating a Distressed Traveller.
Snappy title.
It really is. There was an engraving done by his brother, Charles Landseer, 11 years later of the same thing, and it became very famous. And frankly, if you think about it, it's actually a very bad idea, giving someone who's cold, possibly, you know, exposed to the elements, giving them booze. It's not a great idea.
The vasodilates you, doesn't it? It's actually not a great thing because you lose more heat.
More heat,
Because you get flushed, effectively, don't you?
Which is why, you know, people wandering out of a pub or a party on a cold night can actually get into serious trouble.
For lots of reasons.
For lots of reasons, not least of which the cold. You know, it's interesting, you mentioned dogs sticking their heads out the window and enjoying the breeze and, like, sort of licking. But ever go up to a dog and blow in its face, and they'll sneeze, they'll be very pissed off by the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's one of life's mysteries.
You've got to pick your dog, haven't you? Unless you wanted some jaws clamped over your head.
But, you know, talking of sniffing, I'm absolutely fascinated by this. there's a number of very well-documented circumstances where dogs can sniff out human disease. Actually, before I get into that, we were chatting just the other night, Nigel, and you were telling me about a woman, I think she was a nurse, who diagnosed her husband's Parkinson's disease by sniffing him. Can you remind me about that?
Yeah, because I didn't believe it either. And I had to look it up, and it was a nurse. And she'd noticed a particular odour in her husband, and it was yeasty and musty, and the two lesser known of the seven dwarves, the nine dwarves it would be. And
happy, snoozy,
yeah, that's dumpy, right.
Yeasty and musty.
Smelly, yeasty.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So
yeah, but yeah, it became a thing.
Husband,
yeah,
how did she
made the two things equate?
Wasn't it that she had been like she'd worked with patients who were living with Parkinson's, and
I think she had, and they did some research, and they started to get some good results, but that was after a shaky start.
Oh no, I can't believe you said that.
Sorry.
That is in such bad taste.
That is ridiculous. We might have to edit that one out.
No, I think not. I think I rather like the idea of the hate mail you'll get.
Yeah, that seems not entirely justified. But yeah, so it was interesting. And they did do some research, and there was some justifications. There was some evidence, and which only goes to show because, I mean, clearly, dog's sense of smell is infinitely better than ours.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. But some examples of diseases, human diseases, they can detect. Diabetes is one, and they can actually help their owners avoid issues with hypo or hyperglycemia, where the blood sugar's too low or too high. And also a whole bunch of cancers, sniffing her patient's skin, breath, urine, feces. And researchers demonstrated that dogs can detect melanoma, right, malignant skin cancer, colorectal cancer, large bowel cancer, lung cancer, ovarian cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer.
Blimey, I did meet one of those ones, and you know, like dogs sniff your groin. I mean, this one sniffed my groin and then lay on its back and pretended to play dead, which I thought was probably A, rude, and generally a bad sign.
So talking of crotches, there's a spoof documentary when I was researching this, which is well worth seeking out. It's a spoof documentary of dogs and officers working for the Sexually Transmitted Illness Detection Unit. And
right.
It shows a bunch of people with dogs on the street and going into nightclubs. It was put together by the advertising agency for Randox Laboratories, who have an offering, a kit to do home diagnosis of sexually transmitted disease. It's called
Does the dog come with it?
It was a spoof documentary.
Oh, sorry, right.
But, you know, there's a saying, outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read.
That's just ridiculous.
I love that. But inside of a dog is a book, which I know I've recommended to you, and it's on the long list of books
I won't have read it then.
You will have not have read.
I look at it as a list of books not to read.
Well, it's astonishing to me that you got through medical school, because you say, oh, I don't like reading nonfiction books.
Yeah, true.
Oh, maybe what they did was they kidded you and said, this pathology book, it's actually a work of fiction.
I'll tell you that Enid Blyton medicine course is fantastic.
But anyway, stay with me. Inside of a Dog is a book by Alexandra Horowitz, which I bought many copies. So, Alexandra, kudos to you. It's a great book. It's a wonderful, very well-researched perspective that certainly changed the way that I view dogs. And I've had many dogs over my life. And one of the things she points out is that it's not just that dogs have a profoundly better sense of smell, but they can also, if you will, have timelines to the smell so that they can work out the sequence in which the smells happened in your day.
They're like a watchdog.
Very good. Yeah, I wonder how long you've been thinking about that one. But, you know, moving on to some other health associations, dogs are good for your heart, right? So cardiovascular disease is common. It's the most common cause of death, right? And there are many different types of cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, peripheral vascular disease causing problems with walking. And lo and behold, dog owners have lower rates of cardiovascular disease, all cardiovascular disease. Is that because they tend to obviously go for walks with the dogs or they spend time playing with the dogs? But there's a feeling that there's something else going on, because if you just stroke a dog, your blood pressure goes down. So stroking a dog lowers blood pressure of human. And, you know, we know that lower blood pressure is, on the whole, a good thing.
It's true if you stroke a cat as well, isn't it? Or any furry animal.
Well, I don't know that any furry. I mean,
well, most furry animals.
Stroking a gorilla is probably not a great idea.
Oh, people go out to wherever Borneo. Gorillas are. Borneo, that'll be it, don't
or
they?
Or the zoo.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So dog owners...
Zoo's closer.
Well, the zoo is closer, yes. Yes, it is.
But they get very upset if you try and stroke the gorillas. You don't do that twice.
For anyone who's listening in, who hears the pauses in my voice, I am perplexed. I'm constantly perplexed trying to work out how his brain works. Or, I mean, I presume if his brain works. But interestingly, it's not just lower blood pressure. Dog owners have lower levels of fat in their blood, independent of other things like weight, diet, and smoking.
That's interesting, because in terms of cause and effect, I suppose there's all sorts of mechanisms which may have that. It can't just be owning a pet, surely, to goodness.
Well,
I feel a study coming on.
Yeah. There is evidence that stress is reduced with dogs, and it helps physical and mental health. So when you're stressed, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up, and that in and of itself creates a sense of stress and, you know, concern. And it's a vicious cycle, right? So if you're dubious about this, anyone listening, try this. Stroke a dog. If it's not your dog, I suggest you ask before you stroke them. Stroke a dog and note how you're feeling. You know, I always find that they kind of calm me down, unless, of course, they steal shoes, socks, and other stuff.
Shred your furniture.
Yeah, exactly. They do tend to steal stuff, right?
They do. So I know you like my jokes, but so why was the dog stealing shingles and roof tiles?
I hesitate to ask.
Because he wanted to become a woofer.
They deteriorate.
No.
They deteriorate as time.
That's one of my best.
Okay, so Nigel, talk to us about therapy dogs and any experience you've had of, you know, your patients and dealing with dogs.
Well, yeah, I mean, the commonest that I guess I would see is people that come in with guide dogs for the blind, and they're often gorgeous dogs and so well trained. But the thing I came across some years ago now was hearing dogs for the deaf. And I can see the look on your face. I thought it was a joke when I first heard this as well. But yeah, it's a thing. And I don't get a lot of press. It's a joke here somewhere. But yeah, and really helpful. And if you think it through, it can be quite a protective thing.
It's a
similar sort of thing. And even though you're sighted, if you're completely deaf, it can be issues. And particularly if people come to the door or there's other issues, there's a whole load of things that rip. But there are dogs that are out there that people have that can respond. They have a seizure or a fit, and they can be trained.
People living with epilepsy.
Yeah, people living with quite severe epilepsy, and that can be a useful thing. They can even sense when it's coming on and alert people, or are trained to create an alert when somebody has one. You had one, didn't you? Wasn't that an intelligent dog for the stupid? In fact, I've got one down. I'm getting an IT dog for the computer illiterate.
So bringing it back to sentience, there's this whole concept of the blue zones. Dan Boitner wrote all about this, and I'm a big fan of his work. One of the things that leads to a longer health span and a longer lifespan is avoiding loneliness. We know that loneliness is an independent factor that reduces lifespan. It's equivalent to smoking 10 cigarettes a day. So having a dog is associated with a longer life. It's a companion. And people, you know, again, is it that people who choose to have dogs are more health conscious, more sociable anyway? Maybe because, you know, walking a dog leads to meeting and talking to people. You're walking down the street with a happy, you know, nice-looking dog, people will talk to you.
Well, that's how you've met most of your partners, haven't you? When you're walking around with your 10 dogs. Anyway, aren't dogs supposed to be like their owners? You know, I mean, which one shall I get for you? I thought I'd get one that's barking.
Very good. Barking mad. Thank you very much. So, you know, there's some other elements to this. Nigel, when we were lads, we were encouraged as kids to, like, go and play in the garden, play in the dirt, and there wasn't this sort of focus on hygiene. And there's this clean theory of disease, which I know not a lot of people buy into nowadays, but there has been a growth for sure in food allergies and immune conditions, no doubting that. And one of the ideas is that having a dog, they bring microbes into the house, which stimulate your immune system function. So, you know, could it help people avoid things like asthma, like eczema, obviously assuming that they're not allergic to dog hair. So can you comment, Nigel, about allergies and stuff?
Well, they say, don't they, in terms of immunity and in terms of in allergy as well, they do say, don't they, with kids, you know, in your lifetime, you should eat a peck of dirt. Yeah.
How much is a peck?
A peck, well, there's a song, isn't it? It's I Love You, a Bushel and a Peck. That's a really, really old song, way before our time. And it's a measure of volume. And I think it's the equivalent of 2 or 3 pounds. Just Google it, because I couldn't. Because I couldn't be bothered.
Well,
not in one sitting, obviously. It's a cumulative thing over time. But they reckon that they should incorporate it into supplements, and you can have your vitamin tablets, and you can have your soil tablet, and go along with the day. But no, that's true. And I think when we were students, I mean, we had such a dodgy kitchen, didn't we? With sort of damp growing up the walls and things like that. I'm sure our exposure to microbes, fungi, we should
never get a disease in our life. So
absolutely.
But mentioning that microbes, and it's worth pointing out that within our bodies, there's the microbiome.
Yeah.
That's the bugs that live in our gut, on our skin, throughout our body. And there's more and more knowledge now about ways that it impacts many diseases, even the way we think and act. And having a dog may change the microbiome, which may lead to an association with lower risk of certain diseases where inflammation plays a role. So it's almost certainly a lot more complex than people originally thought.
Well, you have a great microbiome, don't you? Because you're, let's face it, you're full of shit.
I love the way that you amuse yourself with insulting me. But let's get on to some risks. There are risks of having a dog, and of course, dog bites. So what do you get if you cross a Rottweiler and a hyena?
I don't know.
Well, I recommend that you join in if it laughs.
It's a bit like the one that says if you cross a parrot with a gorilla, isn't it? You say, what do you get? And you get a bird that when it speaks, you listen.
But there are issues, aren't there, with dogs? They can knock people over and stuff like that, especially young children.
Yeah, there are all the time now. There are cases where you hear of people being mauled to death.
Yeah.
You know, there are dangerous dogs out there, and dogs that aren't under control and are unpredictable. And I guess that's the problem. And while people love them and they're fine, they can suddenly turn. And I think we have to be responsible. I think everybody has to be responsible with dogs, particularly if you've got a large dog. It might look trendy. It might look whatever you're trying to achieve by the look. But really, dogs need training, don't they? Yeah. I think that's the important thing, because you really, you know, there's dangerous dog legislation in this country and other countries, and I think you just have to be responsible, don't you?
So maybe you could also, again, sort of thing you'd see that I wouldn't see doing tertiary care type stuff, but can you talk about dog bites? Because, you know, human bites, you know, people get into a fight and a person bites another person. It's actually very, very dangerous. I've dealt with those patients.
Yeah.
I've seen someone who, a gentleman who had a bite on his, shall we say, lower abdomen.
Right.
And he'd had congress with a woman applying her trade, shall we say. And he had what's called cellulitis, an infection of the skin on his abdomen. And he was really seriously ill, you know, flesh-eating bacteria sort of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe talk a little bit about dog bites and the sort of infections.
I think if you bite a dog, it should really go to the vet. And I think that's the reasonable thing for them to deal with. But if you get bitten by a dog, I mean, you know, a dog's mouth You don't know where it's been. There's plenty of bacteria, as we were just discussing. So you can get a really nasty infected wound. It's often a thing that people say, oh, you must get your tetanus shot. You know, that's really important. But of course, getting a tetanus shot doesn't protect you against that time when you've been bitten. Yeah. What it does is protect you for the next time you're bitten. Yeah. And that's very important
to realise. So you should always make sure that your tetanus boosters are up to speed.
But you don't need it during the same day, but it is important.
And if it's a country where rabies is an issue, that has to be taken very, very seriously, because that's a fatal disease.
Yeah.
And they can also have carry other risks to humans, right?
Oh God, yeah. Because I mean, the common things, the simple things, that they'll have fleas and ticks, and they can cause human issues like Lyme disease from ticks, as you know. We'll talk about that in another podcast, but that can be quite a serious illness. But so it's very important to make sure that you treat your dogs. They can have flea collars. You can have little injections, I think, aren't you, that can stop it? Yeah, and inspect them after walks. And if you do see ticks, you can remove them, can't you, with a special tool? I was always amused with ticks. They always used to say you remove them, you had to rotate them. I can't remember if it was clockwise or anti-clockwise, which is clearly ridiculous. It's not like they've got a screw in their mouth, is it? You need to.
Well, what you don't want to be doing is leaving the head.
No.
You want to make sure you get the whole darn
thing. You can give them a quick hoovering, can't you?
Yeah,
there's nothing like
you can. Some
dogs quite like being hoovered, I think. But actually, this is totally irrelevant. But our white fluffy cat that we have at home absolutely adores being brushed. Absolutely adores being brushed. It's absolute ecstasy when you have it. Well, there you go. And I'm similar. But Christine won't do that for me. Oh, dear me. So, there you go. I know you like my jokes. So, do you know what happened when the dog went to the flea circus?
I hate to ask.
He stole the show. I know.
So, what about allergies and dog hair?
Yeah, common, like cat hair, or any animals, actually. I've got a son who was allergic to horses. There's a joke there somewhere. A brother-in-law who's enormously allergic to cats. The same is with dogs, you know, and it's... interestingly enough, you get it sometimes with families and they'll go, oh, I'm sure it's the dog. There's a really simple test now. There are blood tests where you can be very specific in terms of testing for an allergy, be it to cats, be it to dogs, be it to any other animals. Well, not any other animals, that's just ridiculous, but the common animals that you'd have as pets. Because the last thing you want to do is somebody to go, yeah, your allergy is due to your dog, I think. You should get rid of the dog, only to find out it's something completely different. That would be...
Right. So you can have it cruel. Tested.
Yeah, so it can be very specifically tested, which is important.
So dogs can also get worms, roundworms, hookworms, and should be on preventative therapy. It's very important. Not only do the dogs suffer from symptoms, weight loss, but those worms can also affect humans and get into their gut and cause problems, and can also cause a condition called cutaneous larva migrans. So when you've picked up a dog's poop and put it in the plastic bag and not hung it on a tree and disposed of it properly, always wash your hands properly. 20 seconds, hot water, soap, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And there's always one illness stuck in my mind you get from dogs, and that's Toxocara carnis. Yeah?
Well, tell us about that.
Okay, that is a worm infestation. And it's an interesting one because when it gets into a human, it's often sometimes goes into the lung. This thing eventually burrows through and gets into your gut. And it's only active once it's been through your gut and activated, but it can also infiltrate into your eyes, and so it can get into your eyes, and you can very rarely get blindness from it. And it's the same with, there's a very similar cat thing, she's called Toxocara catis, surprisingly, and that's, you know, it's rare, but it's there, and so it's all about hygiene and remembering that, you know, no matter how much you love your dog, maybe you don't want to be kissing it, it's slobbering all over you. That just makes my flesh creep when I see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you watch a dog and it's cleaning itself and then you're giving it a nice big kiss, or people letting it sleep in their bed, or no, I don't think we'll go there.
Yeah.
It's briefly worth mentioning diseases dogs get, because we love them, they do pose risks to us. We've talked about the health benefits of having a dog, cardiovascular, so on and so forth. But it's worth mentioning because, you know, you get attracted, you get really attached to your dog, you fall in love with having this beautiful animal around, and then they go and die on you. So big-chested dogs, I had a Weimaraner who had this, big-chested dogs have a risk of developing volvulus, their gut twisting, cutting off its own blood supply, and that can kill them. And I remember it happened 6 weeks after my dad died, and I was just devastated. Many dogs get hip dysplasia. They get an abnormality in the hip, and they have problems walking. Then, you know, these apparently French bulldogs are now really, really popular. And they get what's called brachycephalic airway disease. Brachy means short, cephalic head. So they've got a short, sort of truncated head, and they have difficulty breathing.
Yeah, I was walking the other day, and you could hear this thing coming from about 100 yards away. And I'm thinking, it's cruel to be walking that dog. It's clearly got respiratory difficulty. Yeah. And we sat down and had a coffee, and the poor thing didn't recover for about 10 minutes. Yeah. It was absolutely, absolutely horrific.
That reminds me, Nigel, I recently went to the zoo with some friends and their small children to see all the animals, but all they had was a small dog. It was a shih tzu.
Oh, I always thought a shih tzu was one with no penguins. A bit like, what's a Hindu? Lays eggs.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. You've got to listen to the pronunciation. Look, well, if you think there's more to come, you're barking up the wrong tree. Ooh. With jokes like that, you may have to be grateful that that's all we've got time for today. If you've enjoyed Join the Dogs, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends. Visit our website at jointhedocs.com, where we can get all sorts of additional material and great merch featuring the work of our goofy artist, Robin Gott.
And if you want to reach out and ask us a question or suggest a topic, please use social media at jointhedocs. And if you want to reach out to tell us we're rubbish, well, don't.
Until next time, please stay happy, stay healthy, because it beats the alternatives. Remember, we spend a long time dead. Bye for now.
Bye.